today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Today we give you two for the price of one with two guests. First up, it's Corey Glover, of course, legendary singer from the band Living Color. Now doing like kind of a solo tour, going to be jumping on some Living Color dates, as well as doing this thing called a Bowie celebration, which we talk about. He's got a side project called the Ultraphonics Band, playing with George Lynch. I asked him if that feels surreal.
I'm just some kid from New York City, and these are the records I grew up on,
We talk about his birthday, which is coming up this Tuesday, November 6th, which is Election Day. He told me how important voting is to him. We talked about the Rolling Stones tour they did back in the early 1990s, late 1980s, and also singers that intrigue him. That got us talking about Chris Cornell.
I saw Chris this on Soundgarden. I was blown away.
After Corey, it's Stephen Richards from the band Taproot. They've got this 8-CD B-sides and rarities package coming out called Besides that was put together by drummer Jared Montague. We talk about some of the songs, and Stephen says some of the songs were so good.
I mean, I know for sure, there's a couple of really good songs that never made the record.
We talk about fatherhood, some stories about Hailstorm, Seether, Fred Durst. I had to ask him about his health. Stephen's had a history of seizures.
I'm allowed to drive at the moment. And I've got medication. There's been medication issues, and it's all financial. And
if you're a Taproot fan, you're not going to want to miss this conversation. We dive deep into a number of topics. It's Stephen Richards from Taproot and vocalist Corey Glover today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
As always, a big thank you for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. If you like this podcast, please, by all means, give it a 5-star rating on iTunes. Give it a review if you'd like. We do appreciate that. 248-586-2988 if you want to leave a voicemail or just hit me up on the social media at Meltdown WRIF. Normally, we have Al Beck with Rock News coming up after the interviews, but today he's not here, and I've got a lot of interviews to get to. Of course, Corey Glover's up first, and I got a really good one with Stephen Richards from Taproot coming up second. First, so it's Corey Glover. He called in to tell me about his solo tour and everything he's got going on throughout the rest of the year. It's Corey Glover on Talkin' Rock.
Hi, it's Corey Glover.
Hey, Corey, how are you? It's Meltdown here in WRIF in Detroit. Good to talk to you, man.
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a long time. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about this as I was driving to work today. I think the last time I interviewed you was in Buffalo in the early 1990s. So what have you been up to since?
Wow. What have you been up to? You're in Detroit now. How that work?
I've been here for 23 years as of yesterday. So, yeah.
Wow.
So anyways, but yeah, enough about me, man. What about you? I mean, you got your birthday and everything coming up. You got a jam-packed end of the year, eh?
I do.
Man, you're going to be playing with your band on your birthday, aren't you? That's November 6th.
November 6th, we're playing playing at the Brooklyn Bowl in New York City, yeah.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
Then, yeah.
Yeah, and the Brooklyn Bowl, isn't there a Brooklyn Bowl in Vegas, too, right?
There's a Brooklyn Bowl in Vegas, and there's a Brooklyn Bowl in London, which is weird.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, that Brooklyn Bowl in Vegas, we always stay right next there at the Lincoln. If I'm not mistaken, you guys are playing there again on New Year's Eve, right?
On New Year's Eve, yeah.
Man, you got your whole rest of the year all scheduled out for you. How's that feel?
That feels great. It means I'm working.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we're going to Australia between the one Brooklyn Bowl and the next Brooklyn Bowl. So.
Yeah. Yeah, then you got so many things going on. Of course, you're going to be in Detroit tomorrow night playing your solo show. Now, fill me in on what happens on that show. Do you got a band with you? Is it just you acoustic? What's going on?
No, it's me and a band. I put out a record a long time ago, and I figured I should play some of these songs before they get too old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the hymn record turns 20. And when I looked it up, it said 1998, and that just feels like about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's 20 years ago. So, like I said, we'll just want to dust them off and see how they sound.
Yeah, and certainly doing this in a couple dates, huh?
Yeah. We're going into Ohio today, and then we'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's going to be great. I mean, obviously, your vocals and stuff, I mean, speak for themselves. You got your, Living Color. You got the Ultraphonic stuff, which is unbelievable. Original human music. Talk a little bit about that band.
Yeah, well, this is me and George. I would have never thought that I would have gotten to gotten to something with George Lynch, but because, you know, he's a West Coast guy, you know, and he's been in docking forever, and Don is an amazing singer. So, you know, I feel honored just to be playing with him.
Yeah, it's funny because, yeah, you're on the East Coast, and they're, you know, West Coast and stuff, and I talk to a lot of bands nowadays where that's really not a problem anymore. Back in the day when Living Color started, it's like you kind of all had to be kind of in the same geographical area, but still, you guys wanted to get together and jam and put out that record, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we banged it out. Like, we just sort of flew into California and just wrote and recorded that whole record in like 4 weeks, 6 weeks. Yeah,
that record's killer. It's got all sorts of different flavors and stuff, and it really yeah. the band is great.
The band is amazing, isn't it? Yeah, Chris Moore, the drummer, is amazing, and Pancho, oof, what a bass player.
Yeah, they really carry it well. And of course, I mean, obviously your vocals, like I was just talking about, but do you ever sit there in the recording studio, look over at George Lynch and goes, you know, and say, this is the guy that did Dream Warriors or anything?
Right. You know, I'm just some kid from New York City, and these are the records I grew up on, you know. So watching George play, it's effortless. You know, I'm around a pretty good guitar player myself, but George is just amazing with it.
Yeah, I remember back in the day, you know, seeing those guys at Monsters of Rock and stuff like that, but you had never met George, and your paths never crossed even back in the late 80s, huh?
No, we never met each other until recently.
Yeah, and George is in another band as well, KXM, with Doug Pinnick and Ray Lazier, so he doesn't let the grass grow under his feet either.
Not at all.
Man, you know, I was thinking about this too when I knew I was going to talk to you. Tell me about that Rolling Stones tour that you guys opened up for. That must have been amazing.
Yes, it was incredible. You know, at that point, you know, we were playing in small clubs, and we didn't even get to play arenas. All of a sudden, we're playing in stadiums. It's amazing.
So what's that call like? It's like, hey guys, get ready. You're going out with the Rolling Stones. I mean, that's got to like be mind-boggling.
It was incredible, and you know, we rolled up to some of these stadiums and like, these places are huge.
So did you get a chance to like meet those guys and hang out with them, or is it pretty much you guys went up on stage every night?
No, we hung out, played ping pong with Keith Richards. It was fun. It was lots of fun.
Yeah, I remember that back in, like I said, it was probably right around the time I interviewed you for the first time.
Yeah, I think that's when we met. When we did the interview, was during the Stones tour, I think.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, I mean, that was so long ago. Hey, you also got this thing coming up in December, this Bowie celebration. Tell me about that.
Yeah, celebrate Bowie with a bunch of folks from ex-band members of David Bowie, and we are I'm sorry, I'm getting a political head running in my ear. I don't know.
from me? Is there something feeding through the phone?
No. It's where I am.
Okay.
But yeah. So, just reminding me, I need to vote. Everybody needs to vote. Oh, I'm sorry. What was the question?
I'm sorry. we were talking about David Bowie.
Oh, so yeah, so we're doing a Bowie thing, and it's a bunch of guys in his band. Earl Slick is in the band, and Bernard Fowler, who's an amazing singer. Who else is in the band? There's a bunch of folks. I just got real confused just now.
That's all right. Hey, so did you grow up like a big Bowie fan, or did you discover him later, or what?
Absolutely. I grew up with a lot of that stuff. And Carlos Alomar, who's a bass player, who's on this gig, is I've known him forever, and I've watched him go play with Bowie during the China Girl stuff. And
wow,
it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, I just got back into vinyl last year, and David Bowie's one of those guys I kind of missed growing up, and all of a sudden it's like now I got Diamond Dogs, and I've got, you know, Ziggy Stardust album and all this stuff, and I find myself going back and putting them on. They're amazing.
They are amazing. It's amazing stuff.
Yeah. Now, you just mentioned voting and stuff. I think at the gig coming up here next week that you guys are playing, which is on your birthday, the first 200 people get in for free or something if they, like, show that they voted?
They show if they voted, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You like being part of the process, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do. It's important, you know. It's one of the things my sort of my parents sort of instilled in me. It's like, you know, that's something that that's your responsibility, you know, if you're going to do this, if you want to be a part of the problem, you don't want to be a part of the solution, you got to do that kind of stuff.
Right. Now, I grew up in the same type of situation. I've never missed a chance to vote. It's amazing how many people don't.
Yes. It's weird when you hear the numbers of how much of the population, less than 50% of the population votes, and that, you know, a lot of important stuff goes on that you need to take care of, and if you don't vote, you're not a part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that being part of the process is also writing songs and letting your creative juices flow, like in your band Ultraphonics and stuff like that?
Oh, absolutely. It's, you know, I'm writing about how my life is, and, you know, if you are living, and this is a part of it.
Mm-hmm. And what if someone, like, I asked Tom Morello this one time, what if someone like Ted Nugent wanted to jam with you? Would you jam with Ted?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Not a problem.
That's what Tom said. He goes, yeah, he's one of my best friends. And Tim Comerford said, I'd take him out in the woods and beat his ass or something like that.
No. I think, you know, it's when you get past it, all the rhetoric, it's really about people and how people live. And if your politics reflects how you live, then your life should reflect, your music should reflect that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that your music should have the music that you listen to and the music that you enjoy should say who you are. And if Ted feels the way he feels, his music reflects that. And I appreciate his music. I love his music.
Yeah. Okay, a couple more things.
I would never go hunting with him, but you know.
But you'd play with him on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Have you met Ted before?
Briefly.
Yeah.
It was very short, sort of, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Bye.
Of course, being here from Michigan, I had to drop the Ted Nugent thing on you. Hey, have there been any singers in the last several years that really intrigue you?
I like LeJon from Seven Dust.
Right.
I think he's amazing. You know, and I know we just lost Chris, but I was just talking about Chris the other day. It's like the first time we saw Chris play, I saw Soundgarden. I was blown away. He was an amazing, amazing, talented guy.
Yeah, I was at that last show here in Detroit, unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever way you look at it. So, man, yeah, you're right, man. That guy sang like a bird. Like Miles Kennedy always reminds me a little bit of that, too.
Miles, I did some shows with Miles. Miles is another one that's an amazing singer. There's a clip out there of me and him doing Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah.
Mm.
And it's great.
Wow. Hey, final thing here for you, then we'll let you go. It sounds like you got a lot of things going on here. What's the what's been the key to your success to be in this business for so long? I mean, you've acted, you've sang, you know, you're a star of stage and screen. So what's the keys to your success?
Keep moving. Got to keep moving. Can't stop. Can't slow down. If you're moving, keep moving. It's like a shark.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'll tell you what, have a great tour here with this little solo thing. Have a great birthday as well. And the end of the year, it sounds like you're going to keep moving.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks a lot, man.
Hey, Corey, appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right, have a good one.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Up next, it's Steven Richards from Taproot with their big old 8-CD collection that's coming out called Besides. I thought it'd be a perfect time to get him on the Talking Rock with Meltdown podcast. And thanks for joining me, Steven.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. So you got this. Yeah, people that are listening outside of the Detroit area, they don't know that's what our morning show says all the time. So there you go. But you got the 8-CD B-side and rarities besides 130 tracks. Now, as we record this on November 2nd, if you order it today, it's guaranteed by Christmas. But otherwise, you can just hop online and order this whenever, right?
Correct. Yeah, it's just a guaranteed for Christmas by if you can get it today.
Yeah, by November 2nd. If you're listening to this on November 5th or something, still order it. But, you know, you might not get it by Christmas. But, you know, you can tell grandma that it's coming in the mail. Don't worry about it, right?
Well, we are about that old in our fans, so yeah.
So let's talk about the B-sides and the rarities. So all of this stuff here is from the entire existence of Taproot?
Yeah, pretty much since, you know, we started writing material back in 97-ish up until probably 2013. I think there might even be a couple demos of some of the newer stuff I'm working on. But yeah, it's got all the humiliating stuff that we did before we got signed to Atlantic. So you get to hear a lot of me playing some terrible drums and singing horribly from my basement.
Now, have you had this stuff all along, or did you contact like an engineer or producer or something, or is this all stuff that you just have and kept?
Most of it's what we have and kept. I know for sure, like, you know, there's a couple of really good songs that never made the record just because we, you know, couldn't have 13 or 14 songs on a record. We could have, but you only get credit up till 10 or 12, something like that, 12. So we'd always, you know, have one or two extra songs from each record. So there's a good handful of songs that are actually tracked from the studio that just weren't released. So those are cool. But, you know, 80% of it's either the demo versions of songs that made the record and or songs that were just god-awful from when we were, you know, 20.
Now, what I think you guys should have done with this, actually, is put it out in some sort of vault and then, you know, tour the country and charge people $2,000 a person to meet and greet with you guys to talk about it.
Right. Well, we would have made $900.
No, that's what Gene Simmons just recently did with all sorts of B-sides and rarities. I'm just kidding. So this has 130 tracks on it. And now let me ask you this. Are all these tracks completed? Because I did hear some of the tracks. Are all the tracks completed, or are some of them in like a state of where you guys were kind of thinking it through, or what's the deal with these songs?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't even know all 130 that Jared put together to make this happen. But
hold on for one second. Hang on. Jared put this all together?
Yeah, Jared, the guy that has the most full-time job and has five kids, and, you know, he's the one that's pulling this all together for us douchebags. But it's, you know, I'm sure there's, you know, probably 10 songs that don't even have lyrics, and they were just kind of me and maybe Mike kind of ruffling through some ideas that never turned into anything. But kind of on that same topic, it's cool. There's the one that we called Kevin Spacey, which is unfortunately kind of cliche nowadays.
It's kind of weird now. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we considered it kind of like spacey, more, you know, like just out there. I never ended up doing any vocals on it, just couldn't quite find what I wanted to do, and that's the track that we unfortunately lost Lane Staley a couple days prior to going to fly out and talk to him about singing on the song. And when he passed away, his mom found our CD in his disc player and asked who we were, because Toby, the producer, and Welcome was their producer for the last couple Alice in Chains records. So it's kind of one of those cool songs that we have that made, you know, like you'll get to hear a song that Lane Staley could have been on, and then you can try to imagine what he would have done with it, because I didn't do a goddamn thing.
Yeah, that song right there is just 3.5 minutes of music and stuff, and we'll put a little bit of it on here. But that was that's pretty cool. Speaking of Toby Wright, the producer, did you guys contact him about anything, or do you guys like kind of own everything that you guys have done?
We pretty much own everything that we've done. Actually, the bummer thing about the Kevin Spacey thing is we couldn't find the real version. We actually tracked that in the studio when we went to go get Lane to come down, but we couldn't find the original, so we didn't like contact Atlantic for the masters or anything, even though I think we technically own them.
Mm-hmm.
But so we just have the recording of us jamming it out in the rehearsal studio, preparing to go into the recording.
Now, a couple of the songs I heard I wanted to ask you about are the song Contradiction, man. That's a pretty heavy song.
Yeah, that's one of the ones that we probably should have made for a record. That was one of my favorites. You know, usually my go-tos are to have at least one or two start off mosh songs before getting too sentimental.
Yeah, and then there are a couple sentimental songs I actually did hear. The song Stay Away sounded pretty personal. What's that song about?
Well, I don't want to ruin it too bad, but I'll tell you the truth.
Just give us what you want to give us.
No, when I was a teenager and I had to put my dog to sleep, it was kind of just reflecting upon our lives together. I got her when I was 2, and I think I had to put her down when I was 16 and held her in my arms when she got put down. And so I just kind of wrote that song about her and, some of the stuff about taking my fist and just talking about, beating her ass when she was bad, but, how she made me feel loved. And growing up as an only child, I didn't really have much, not too many friends aside from, the hockey team and stuff, but she was my buddy, so that was the song that I wrote for her.
Yeah, and then there's a song that I heard also called Except I Love You. What's that song about?
Well, that actually turned into a song called Fractured off our record Plead the Fifth.
Right.
Honestly, it was more just, I guess, kind of sometimes you go along with the words, I love you, and you kind of just have to obligatedly say it, I guess. But also having to do with someone that cheated on me, too. So one of those deals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some pretty personal stuff right there.
Yeah, I mean, most of my stuff's just boo-hoo, woe is me. I don't tend to write songs. Like, I don't live in other people's shoes, so I just write what I know and kind of, I think that's why a lot of our fans are like dedicated fans, because it speaks to them, because they relate. I don't, write perfect, nice Nickelback songs about pictures when even he admits that he only writes songs because he knows the formula.
Well, he's got a pretty good formula.
Yeah, I might take the formula if I could read it, but no, that's just not what I did.
Now, what are some of the other songs? You got 130 tracks on here. Can you tell us anything about any of the other songs, any other personal favorites that you've had? Because those are the only songs I've really heard so far.
Gotcha. Well, I honestly like all the tracks that didn't make the records. There's one called Transparent and one called Remain that just didn't make it on to the albums themselves, just because their studio quality and, kind of up to par songs just didn't make the cut. But there's a couple older, like, goofy stuff with, Negative Reinforcement from our very, very, very first demo is hilarious. Like, that's back when we were trying to be a rock band with no drummer, because I was the drummer of everything, and then I got stuck singing. So we thought it might be kind of cool to be a band that had, three guys just going crazy, hella nuts up front with a drum machine.
Yeah. I heard about, that story's funny when you guys did that first gig with the drum machine and it was like too loud or overbearing or something, right?
No, my dumbass jumped down in the orchestra pit and unplugged it, and for some reason thought when I plugged it back in that it would just continue playing, but it just stopped the song.
Oh, okay. That's what it was.
That's how I think when I have my microphone in my hand, I just tend to wander around and do dumb shit.
Yeah. When was the last time you guys played live on stage? Was it that Token gig last year in December?
Yeah, it was the Token gig that we hung out at. It was the 20th anniversary, like the worst day possible, Christmas Eve or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was the day before Christmas Eve. But yeah, I mean, what a great show. I mean, you guys really brought it that night.
Oh, cool. Thank you very much. I mean, it was a blast. We did that, and then we did two shows celebrating the 15th anniversary of Welcome the year prior in 2017, yeah.
Yeah, and that was at the Machine Shop, right?
Yeah, we did 2 days of those. We did the entire record plus one of my new songs that night, and then we did a second show the next night, which was you know, the normal Taproot show where we rotated all three drummers and played two of my new songs.
There you go. Now, you're talking about how Jared kind of put this together, and people that don't know, Jared does have a lot of stuff going on. He's got like 20 kids, and he's got a real job, and he's writing books and all this other stuff. He wrote this book, True Rockstars, which is a great read. But did you have a chance to like listen to these tracks and kind of okay or say no to some of them, or you know, get your stamp of approval, or did you just put everything in his hands?
Well, honestly, I think Phil, our bassist, had a lot to do with it, too. You know, Jared did probably 99% of the weight. Phil did one, and then I just had to chime in on, like, two or three of the songs in the last week or two. Jared's been posting videos on YouTube with the lyrics and stuff, and he couldn't make out some of the words because I'm humble. So I had to go back and listen through those songs and try to figure out what the hell I was saying. Even I had trouble figuring it out, but... no, I mean, it's basically on Jared's back. He's the one that's been fronting it all and taking care of it. And he's done a great job, and, you know, we're appreciative. And I know the fans that buy it will be too, because it's definitely a one-of-a-time thing for our dedicated fans.
Now,
who the hell... I haven't bought 8 CDs in the last 8 years, let alone in one batch, and half of the songs are just like poopy demos from the guy's basement.
Now, are any of these songs, did you guys polish up any of these songs, or are they as raw as when you recorded them? In other words, did you redo any of them in the studio, or vocal tracks or guitar solos or anything like that, or is this just raw?
There's a couple songs that show progressions. Like, I'm pretty sure there's a copy of Poem, which is the one I did literally on like a digital recorder on the back of an Ozfest tour bus.
Right.
When I wrote the song in like 5 minutes. And so I think that version's on there, as well as probably the first time we played it live. And then when we did it for the actual record, it was slightly different. Most of it was the same. We just cut out the intro.
But I guess what I'm asking is, you guys didn't touch up anything for this B-Sides 8 CD?
Oh, no. This was just straight up in your face. Here's what you get.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, that's cool. So when you're listening to some of this stuff, I mean, the memories must have flooded back, huh?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's a blast from the past. I mean, you know, a lot of the songs are just kind of... wow, I forgot that. And then like, holy crap, like I forgot how good that was. And like, you know, there's probably two or three songs that I'm like, man, those are probably some of my favorite songs, and we didn't even attempt to do them for a record.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. Man, just looking through all these songs and these CDs, man, there is definitely a lot of stuff on here.
Yeah, I just look at it as, you know, if you want to buy a song nowadays for 99 cents, that's fine. But at least with this, you get them at like 30 cents a song.
Yeah, right. Now, Jared wrote that book, True Rockstars. If I remember correctly, last time I talked to you, had you read it not yet?
I only read parts of it. I'm not a reader.
Okay, yeah. You don't strike me as a reader, but I didn't know if you sat down just to check it out and, you know, see what he had said. So that's a great book, man. It's a great story.
Yeah, no, I know it is. And I've muffled through it. I don't think I've read one entire book in my entire life. That's why I kind of ended up a musician, I guess.
Yeah. There you go.
No, I mean, Jared is one of the wisest people in the world, and I know his book's amazing. The parts that I've read are sweet, and I love, you know, more of the personal stuff to him that inspires his life to become what he became, which is, he was already like the most perfect, honest, kind, sweet person ever, even before we became a band, and now he's only even better than that, which is, you know, technically impossible, but happened. So it's a great book. If anyone needs inspiration or positivity in their life, I definitely recommend getting it.
Yeah, it's a story about Taproot.
Or any cool story, yeah. Any stories about Taproot, too.
No, it's a story about Taproot, but you're right, it kind of goes beyond that. If you're not a Taproot fan or you don't know anything really about Taproot, you can still read the book because it kind of resonates in other parts.
Yeah, it just uses, like you said, references of his experiences with us as well as himself to become a better person. I don't know if it would be an you know, a music section of books, or probably could be in self-help too. It's really inspirational.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, 130 songs, B-sides. If you order it by November 2nd, it's guaranteed for a Christmas delivery. But even if you're ordering a little bit late, you never know. It could get to your house by Christmas as well. Hey, a couple of things I wanted to ask you about. First of all, how's fatherhood treating you?
Well, let me point out, too, that my dumbass pun spells it besides, because there were the songs that fell besides.
Okay.
We're not calling it B-sides. We're going with besides.
Besides. Yeah, I got it written down here, besides, right? But, yeah, it's B-sides, besides. Yeah, okay. I get you. Okay.
Besides.
So is this how you deal with your children and your wife?
Yeah, and life's not working out well for me.
Nah. So, yeah, no, how's the fatherhood thing, man?
It's good. It's good. My 15-month-old ginger baby is amazing, except she likes hitting her head on stuff on purpose.
Yeah,
so you gotta figure that out.
Yeah, man.
I didn't know headbanging was hereditary.
Yeah, the apple doesn't fall far, they say.
That's true.
So, yeah, so you had a baby in the middle of summer last year in 2017, right?
Yeah, in July.
Yep. Yeah, that's a life-changing experience, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I've got an 8-year-old in Vegas, and I've got an 8-year-old stepdaughter here, so they're kind of, you know, people.
Right.
Now I've got this little rugrat that, you know, when you say, hey, come here, just decides to start running the other way, and boy, oh, boy, it was... Halloween 2 minutes ago just got awful. Let her dress up as a dinosaur and she was tearing ass all around the place. She got some candy though, but that goes to Vegas. She's not getting the candy.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's awesome. Hey, how's your health doing, man?
We'll see. It's been, I think, since I saw you last year at the show. I think I've probably been in the hospital twice. One time was kind of BS, but I'm still having seizures occasionally. It sucks. I went for 2 years at one point without one, which
right.
is when they start reducing your meds, which is the whole point. But then I had a really, really bad one, and then, yeah, I'm doing okay right now.
Well, that's good.
I'm allowed to drive at the moment, and I've got medication. There's been medication issues, and it's all financial and, you know, insurance type of stuff that kind of doesn't get along. So sometimes I just kind of get hosed, and that's when it happens.
Yeah. Well, I always pull for you, man. I know that you've been struggling this for quite a while, and it's like one of those things where I want you to get better so we can play hockey.
Me too. Actually, I guess when you're asking about my health, and the crazier thing is 3 months ago, I was carrying Ginger Baby into the bedroom and tripped over a freaking chair that shouldn't have been where it was in the doorway. I lodged my upper arm bicep area into a dresser drawer, and then my momentum closed the drawer on my arm. And as a matter of fact, today I just went to go get the nerves tested after talking to a surgeon twice, and I had the nerve test done, and luckily, he said it's not dead, but it's 50-50 that I'll need surgery or just some sort of brace. So I can't feel my pinky or my ring finger while I am trying to currently lay down bass tracks on my new stuff on Friday morning. But yes, I do want to play hockey again because you've always been kind to me there, and I love being your pylon.
Yeah, there you go. So you talk about your new stuff, and I know that you twiddle around on your Instagram. By the way, give your Instagram handle out to everybody, because sometimes you throw up some stuff on there that you're actually working on.
Yeah, it's at Scissors, but it's spelled S-C-I-S-S-R-S, like the lesbian action. It's not like the scissors that cut. It's like the lesbian action.
Now yeah. I'm starting to like that a lot more. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. And I think it's the same thing on Facebook, too. Those are the only two I really deal with. But it's Scissors, spelled the lesbian way, but not because I'm trying to be that goofy, but because my initials are SSR. So
I got you. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, your middle name's Steel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. It's like some sort of like superhero. That's like almost the coolest name ever.
Yeah, except I'm doughy. I'm man made of dough.
So what's with your solo stuff that you're working on? Are you doing everything like Dave Grohl's first Foo Fighters album? I mean, drums, bass, everything?
Yeah, that's kind of how it goes. I mean, a lot of Taproot fans don't really realize that that's how most of the stuff worked. I've been a drummer since I was 4 years old, and that's what I did. I taught myself how to play guitar to Alice in Chains' Dirt, of all things, so that was kind of a close, you know, like, hey, we almost got to have Lane sing with us, which would have been sweet, but bass is just simple. Sorry, Phil. So I'm doing it all on my own. It's taken forever. I had a record written to be Taproot's seventh album, pretty much ready to go, but then some politics happened within the band and other stuff happened. So we kind of took a hiatus and technically quit and broke up and don't talk. Well, me, Jared, and Phil talk.
Right. Is Dave still in the mix somewhere?
Yeah. I think he's working on some new stuff too. He sent me a clip the other day that I think he wanted me to lay some guitar down on. I'm doing some fun stuff like that too, just randomly laying down guitars and vocals on other people's stuff. But I'm just working on this new thing. I'll probably do it under Taproot, so Taproot fans want it and don't want to know who the hell Scissors is.
Yeah.
I'll name the record Scissors, but I think probably 8 of the 11 songs were already written to be the next Taproot record to begin with, since I was the only one writing songs when other people were just working on their online businesses.
Right.
But then there's a couple doozies too that I wrote, you know, in the last year and a half.
Yeah, that's cool. So I guess I don't know, this might be a ridiculous question, but are there any plans to tour or play any live shows coming up anytime in the next year or so?
Me. My wife says, please. It's bad, guys. It's bad. Just goddamn order the CDs, okay?
Is your wife listening right now?
She just came out to enjoy a beverage and a cancer sticker. But, I mean, there's no finite plans. I still, you know, I only have limited time to go in and work on it. And I'm having a blast doing it. It's just taking it forever. But once I have something, you know, solid and ready to go, I'm definitely willing to get people together and probably just, you know, even play the new stuff for fun, just because that's the new stuff.
Yeah. Do you think in the future somewhere we'll see a full-blown Taproot tour with, you know, maybe opening up for, you know, like a Deftones type band or something on those lines? Would you be interested in that kind of thing?
Well, if you throw the Deftones our way, then we'll make it happen somehow. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. Could you see that happening? A full blown tour?
Yes. I mean, I don't know why not. Just, you know, it has to be the right time. You know, we all have our stupid, you know, live in different state areas. And, you know, I don't know if anyone knows the movie, This Is Spinal Tap, they'd understand that we are Spinal Taproot. So we'd have to fight over which drummer's playing what night and where and all that stuff. But no, I mean, you know, depending, Dave's our guy right now. So we could absolutely hit the road and do some stuff.
Hey, final couple things here for you, Steve, and then we'll let you fly. And thanks for all the time here. Any current bands? Bands within the last several years that you like? I'll just throw one out there real fast. Did you hear the brand new Slipknot track they released yesterday? It sounds like something that might be right up your alley.
I believe it would be right up my alley, but no, I have not heard it, so I will look into it. But honestly, for those of you not in Michigan, Boston, or Florida, the only thing I really listen to is Dave and Chuck the Freak on 101theriff.com.
Right.
Or 101.riff.
Yeah.
But, and my demos, because I'm basically critiquing everything I do music-wise, trying to make sure that the songs that I have. I'm like, aside from 5 more songs, I'm bass and I'm on the vocals and I'm done. So I'm still listening to my stuff a lot. But I really only listen to you between 2-6 and, you know, listen to Dave and Chuck in the morning. That's all I care about.
Now,
get me through.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we appreciate that for sure. Because, yeah, you're just outside of the Detroit area. But, hey, real fast, so I just talked to Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm. You got any opinions on Lizzie or any female vocalists that you like?
Well, no, she's amazing. There's unfortunately an awkward story between the two of us.
Uh-oh, let's hear it. I got to hear this.
All right, this is years ago. At one point, it was the year, God, what was it, 2010, I guess. We were both playing Rock on the Range, but that's a multiple-day festival.
Right.
And for some reason, there's a sketchy dude in New Jersey at this place that we always played, Palladium or something like that. But he, for some reason, had all of their headbands and asked me if I could take them to take to Hailstorm to sell at Rock on the Range. So I was like, well, yeah, absolutely, sure.
Okay, hold on for 1 second. What? You had headbands? I don't understand. I'm lost. What do you mean? He gave you a...
Not headbands, I guess. No, they were actually their merch. It was their merch to sell.
It was Hailstorm's merch.
But yeah, Hailstorm's merch. Okay. He gave to me, and I told them, yes, I would deliver, not realizing that they played the day before us, so we wouldn't be there on time.
I gotcha.
But the crazy part is, and when I say headbands, I mean whatever, the handkerchief type, you know.
Yeah, bandana stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Bandana. Yeah. There you go. But the crazy thing is, was the night that we played a show in, God, I think it was Delaware, our trailer got broken into, and all of their merch, all of their, you know, bandanas got taken, as well as a couple of things of ours. But, like, so I assume that small city in Delaware, everyone is wearing a Hailstorm bandana all day, every day, and going like, hey, it's not a big town. But then when, you know, we were playing a show somewhere else the next day, she gave me a call, and she was like, hey, where are you guys? We need our bandanas. And I'm like, we're in some other city. Like, why? She's like, well, we need them to sell today. I'm like, well, we don't play there till tomorrow. I don't know what to do. Oh, and by the way, they got stolen.
So what'd she say to you?
She was cool about it, but then... you know, it kind of turned into like management called and like, hey, well, did you call the police or is there anything going on? And I'm just like, I'm a fucking douchebag singer of a band that, you know, it wasn't my stuff stolen. Like, it sucks. Like, I felt bad, but why did I have their merch? I was just trying to help them out.
Man, but. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, well,
I don't think they hate us like Seether hates us, so they're fine. And no, she's an amazing singer.
Wait a second, you said Seether?
Yeah, well, that hates me.
Well, Sean hates you guys. Sean's like one of the nicest guys ever. What's wrong with Sean?
Years and years and years and years ago, we played a festival show, which, you know, there's, you know, 15 bands or something like that.
Right.
And I was, unfortunately, you know, I can only come up with three or four on the top of my head when I'm on stage between songs to say, you know, give it up for these guys, give it up to these guys. And then apparently he just got really ticked that Seether wasn't one of the ones that I mentioned. That's the story I hear, but then I keep hearing more stories. Like, we played an acoustic show in Wisconsin, and it was either he disagreed. No, he did his... What did he do? I think he canceled his interview because we were playing an acoustic set that day.
Wow.
but which sucks because I think he's an amazing singer and I love a lot of their songs, but from what I hear, he's not a fan of ours or me, I guess.
Or put him in the Fred Durst category, right?
Exactly. I have never hated Biscuit. I still like Biscuit, honestly. The last couple of records are kind of poo-poo, and he's not the best.
Yeah, I just played writer, Nookie. I just played Nookie on the radio today. I'm like, man, that's a good song. It just rocks.
But you know what? That's the one that screwed us over. That's the one where he took our formula. Because that's the one, like, even when we brought Jared into the band, we still had stuff like you'll hear on the limited edition Taproot 8-song, 130-track stuff. You'll hear songs where the verses are drum machine and me doing a little bit rappier stuff. And then when the chorus comes in, that's when the drums kick. And that's when the singing comes. And that's the stuff that Fred Durst got of ours that we sent to him as demos. That made him want to sign us to begin with. So when I first heard Nookie, I was flown out to L.A. by Fred to stay with Fred for a couple of days. And I went to the Interscope meeting where they make a big deal, like, oh, here's the new, you know. So they played the new Biscuit record, and that was the first time I heard Nookie. And my heart fucking sunk. I was like, that's a Taproot song. Like, not Nookie itself. We didn't write Nookie, but just the formula of, hey, you know, the drums come in for the chorus with the singing, and the rest of, you know, that's when we kind of changed it up and became more of a rock heavy metal band rather than the whole rap rock stuff.
Did you say anything to him about that?
No. I was too busy at that point. After that meeting, I'm pretty sure it was the night that he told me to go pick up Carmen Electra from the Viper Room while she was married to Dennis Rodman after he got rid of a Playboy playmate. And me being just a young kid from Michigan, like, I don't know. Okay, I'll try. Luckily, Carmen wasn't there. Rodman didn't kill me. But at least I met a Playboy playmate.
I met Carmen Electra once, man. She was like one of the nicest people.
Oh, yeah, she seems really humble, considering what she could be.
Yeah. Well, we could sit here and talk Fred Durst stories all day long, but I know you got stuff to do, and I got stuff to do, but I just wanted to, talk to you about this. Besides 130 tracks, the B-sides and rarities, 8 CDs, and like I said, if you order it today as we record this on November 2nd, it's guaranteed by Christmas delivery. So, hey, Steven, man, thank you so much for your time, dude. Anything else you want to plug?
Well, hopefully my wife at some point, but you know, we have kids, so that doesn't happen too often anymore.
Here we go, Bridget Toombs. No. Stay, hey, he's here all week. Try the veal, yeah.
Right. No, if you want to just stay in touch at all with Scissors, that's what I go by, like the lesbian, SCISSRS on Facebook and Taproot, or Taproot, Jesus, and Facebook. And then, no, I thank you, Meltdown. I appreciate the always offered help. You're only a kind guy that helps people out, so I do appreciate it.
Well, I hope you guys like that, too, right there, for the price of one on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. I got to thank both of my guests, Steven Richards and, of course, Corey Glover. Hopefully you guys dug that. Thank you for listening as well. Like I said before, if you like this, give it a 5-star rating on iTunes. Maybe write a review. Share with your friends. Don't forget to hit me up on social media at Meltdown, WRIF. And 248-586-2988 if you want to leave a voicemail today to talk about the show, critiques, criticisms, whatever you got. But most importantly, thank you so much for listening. We've got some great interviews coming down the pike here. So I'm going to be posting them next week, some in studio, some on the phone, but some really great, interesting guests coming up here. So like I said, share, subscribe, and thank you for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.